produced a flask from somewhere. "Will you go to hell if you have a drop of spirit?" he said. "So it seems," said Simony absently. Then he noticed the flask. "Oh, you mean alcohol? Probably, but who cares? I won't be able to get near the fire for priests. Thanks. Pass it round." "Thank you." The turtle rocked to a thunderbolt.
Ding, ying, ham, yong, bong.
They all looked at the pieces of raw fish and Faster Benji's hopeful expression.
"I could rake some of the coals out of the firebox from here," said Ern after a while.
Someone tapped Simony on the shoulder, creating a strange tingling sensation.
"Thank you. I have to go."
As he took it, he was aware of the rush of air, a sudden breath in the universe. He looked around in time to see a wave lift a ship out of the water and smash it against the dunes. A distant scream coloured the wind. The soldiers stared.
"There were people under there," said Argovisti.
Simony dropped the flask.
"Come on," he said.
And no one, as they hauled on timbers in the teeth of the gale, as Ern applied everything he knew about levers, as they used their helmets as shovels to dig under the wreckage, asked who it was they were digging for, or what kind of uniform they'd been wearing. Fog rolled in on the wind, hot and flashing with electricity, and still the sea pounded down. Simony hauled on a spar, and then found the weight lessen as someone grasped the other end. He looked up into Brother's eyes.
"Don't say anything," said Brother.
"Gods are doing this to us."
"Don't say anything.
I've got to know. It's better than us doing this to us, isn't it? There are still people who never got off the ships. No one ever said it was going to be nice."
Simony pulled aside some planking. There was a man there, armour and leathers so stained as to be unrecognisable, but alive.
"Listen," said Simony as the wind whipped at him. "I'm not giving in. You haven't won. I'm not doing this for any sort of god, whether they exist or not. I'm doing it for other people, and stop smiling like that."
A couple of dice dropped onto the sand. They sparkled and crackled for a while and then evaporated. The sea calmed. The fog went ragged and curled into nothingness. There was still a haze in the air, but the sun was at least visible again, if only as a brighter area in the dome of the sky. Once again, there was the sensation of the universe drawing breath. The gods appeared, transparent and shimmering, in and out of focus. The sun glinted off a hint of golden curls and wings and lyres. When they spoke in unison, their voices drifting ahead or trailing behind the others, as always happens when a group of people are trying to faithfully repeat something they've been told to say. Om was in the throng, standing right behind the Tsortean god of thunder, with a faraway expression on his face. It was noticeable, if only to Brother, that the thunder god's right arm disappeared behind his own back in a way that, if such a thing could be imagined, would suggest that someone was twisting it to the edge of pain. What the gods said was heard by each combatant in his own language, and according to his own understanding. It boiled down to, 1, this is not a game, 2, here and now you are alive, and then it was over.
"You'd make a good bishop," said Brother.
"Me?" said Didactylos. "I'm a philosopher."
"Good. It's about time we had one."
"And an Ephebian."
"Good. You can think up a better way of ruling the country. Priests shouldn't do it. They can't think about it properly, nor can soldiers."
"Thank you," said Simony.
They were sitting in the Cenobiarch's garden. Far overhead, an eagle circled, looking for anything that wasn't a tortoise.
"I like the idea of democracy. You have to have someone everyone distrusts," said Brother. "That way everyone's happy. Think about it. Simony?"
"Yes?"
"I'm making you head of the Quisition."
"What?"
"I want it stopped, and I want it stopped the hard way."
"You want me to kill all the Inquisitors, right?"
"No, that's the easy way. I want as few deaths as possible. Those who enjoyed it, perhaps, but only those. Now, where's Ern?"
The moving turtle was still on the beach, wheels buried in the sand, blown about by the storm. Ern had been too embarrassed to try to unearth it.
"The last I saw, he was tinkering with the door mechanism," said Didactylos. "Never happier than when he's tinkering with things."
"Yes, we shall have to find things to keep him occupied. Irrigation, architecture, that sort of thing. And what are you going to do?